Hello, guys. Welcome to the Mission Podcast. We are a spirit-filled, multicultural church led by Pastor Carl Thomas. To find out more information, just go to themissiondelray.com.
We're starting a new series today. The God of Hope. Hold on, we'll do this again. It'll look like we planned it. You ready? The God of Hope. High tech right there. Here's the deal. We're gonna have this series through Resurrection Sunday. You know, it's easy to focus on what we're not doing right. It's funny, before we meet Jesus, we think we're perfect. And then we actually meet Jesus who perfects us. And then we think we can never do anything right. How crazy is that? Right? I mean, it's just crazy. You meet lost people and you witness them. You're like, is there anything I could just be in prayer about? And they're like, no, I'm good. Wow, that's amazing. I have a prayer list right now I'm praying. And you got nothing. That's unbelievable. But we get saved and all of a sudden we start seeing everything that's wrong. And it's good. And the word says that we're to be perfect as Jesus is perfect. And so it's easy, in our desire to work out issues, to focus on issues. And it's easy to get down about our lives and begin to start seeing the lack in our life and not recognize that God is so good and God is so amazing and that God wants to do something good in every area of your life, even the areas that you messed up on purpose. He still wants to do good things in there. Anywhere in your life that there is despair, he wants to be the God of hope. Anywhere in your life that things just aren't working out, anywhere in your life where there's disappointment, anywhere in your life that just doesn't seem to click, anywhere in your life that seems like it's not flourishing, he wants to be the God of hope. Anything you lay in bed about at night and worry about, the God of hope is not living there, and he wants to live there. And anywhere in your life that you look at and you see nothing but darkness, let me say this. The areas that you're scared to look at in your life. Because hopelessness is there. And where you are hopeless, since he's a God of hope, that means God is not there. He wants to be God there too. And not the God of you're doing everything wrong, but the God of hope. That through him, you can do everything right. That's a good word right there. I could go home with that. I feel encouraged myself. But we get all this from the book of Romans, and I'm just going to read one verse, so you can go there or not. Romans chapter 15. In the midst of Paul writing to the church in Rome about just a whole bunch of just amazing stuff that Paul the genius is talking about, and Paul will go down a bunny trail and write deeper things than you've ever thought about in your entire life, which was just kind of amazing and annoying all at the same time. But Romans 15:13. He talks about how Christ is the hope of the Jews and the Gentiles. But then he says, he does a little prayer. He does a little prayer for the church in Rome. And if you read Romans, he gives them something to chew on. And it's easy to read all, if you read the whole book of Romans, to get really, really excited and a little bit discouraged. You know, I can't imagine living in Rome and finding out, hey, we got a letter from Paul. Let's read it. I'm like, good Lord, what is he talking? Whoa. And at the end, Paul prays a prayer that they really need. And he says this in Romans 15:13. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all hope and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let me read it again because this is amazing. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And something I want to point out in this verse right here that doesn't immediately jump off the page. You know, there's a lot of, how is this? There's a lot of works-driven Christianity that creeps into Christianity, because Christianity isn't works-driven. But there's a lot of legalism that creeps in. And at the same time, there's a lot of New Age that creeps in. And they both have something very similar in common, both works-driven religion and the New Age, and they both rely on what you can do and what you can think. It's all centered around you in what you could do. See, the difference between every other religion in the world and Christianity is, in Christianity, it's all dependent upon what Jesus did. Not upon what we do, but what he did. Because of what he did, we are able to do wonderful things. But we don't have to do wonderful things so that what he did can be valid. So you read any self-help book, any New Age, any of that stuff, you read it, it's all dependent on you. And in this amazing prayer, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He says here, you don't have to stop being negative to have joy. You got to say the right thing, start saying the right mantras, focus on this, read those books, do these techniques. Paul just says, you know what I pray? You need joy and you need peace. I pray that God just fills you with it. Who needs joy and peace in their life? Who's got a little sadness and a little anxiety in your life? And you're yelling at the sadness, you're yelling at the anxiety, you're trying to push this. And Paul just says, you know what? The easiest way to get that in your life, have God fill you with it. Well, praise God. You know, if you're doing stupid things and you're a little anxious, well, that's kind of, you know, what comes with it. Stop being stupid, you know? But you don't have to work these things up to get it from God. Paul says, I just pray that you just get it. Well, why? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. He says, abound in hope. That means you have so much hope that it flows out of you and affects the areas around you. It affects the people around you. I'm just abounding in hope. I'm going from joy to joy in hope. Every situation I look at, I know that God has filled me with joy and peace because I believe in him. So there is nothing impossible for my God. That's abounding in hope. Abounding in hope says you get a surprise bill in the mail and you say, wow, I can't wait to see how God is going to provide. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about you get pulled over because you're driving 30 miles an hour too fast and you say, wow, I can't wait to see how the Lord takes care of this. Because the Bible says the law is for the lawless. You know what I'm saying? You're getting in on the wrong covenant right there. You want to stay in this covenant. A little Romans 13, submission to authority covenant. Getting a little bit of that. And you know, that's not what we're talking about. But at the same point, we are talking about that I live in a way that my hope is never violated because I stay connected to Jesus. He fills me with joy and peace. Therefore, I have hope in every situation. I don't look in the natural to see what God is going to do. I don't look at my problems and I don't focus on those things because my God is the God of hope. Amen? I don't got time to go down that bunny trail, but we will. But God wants to, he wants to fill you with hope in every area of your life. And in the next couple weeks through Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about this. And what's going to happen is you're going to get an impartation of that hope. That's just going to begin to abound in your life. Amen? Does that sound good? Now, if that gets boring, I'll just start rebuking people a lot because that's what some people want. Just be mean to me, Pastor. Just tell me hard things. Give me hard truths, you know? If you want that, we can do that after service. But I just like to encourage you in hope. Is that good? And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to preach really short, hopefully. Because I don't like to preach that much, you know. And then we're going to have a fire tunnel. That's the plan. I've asked some people to be in the tunnel to work it. And so if you weren't asked, then just receive. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to hit this really quick, so I need you all to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, I preach longer. Okay, so in Acts chapter 10, there was this guy, right? There was this guy, I'm going to give you a little backstory and we're going to try to rush through this. There was a dude named Cornelius who was not in the covenant. He was not a Jew and he was praying. And we're going to pick up this story in verse 19, okay? Okay? We're going to start in Acts 10, 19. Bless the Lord Jesus, all that is within me. Amen. And while Peter was pondering a vision, God gave Peter a vision, some crazy stuff that really violated his conscience and violated everything he knew. But it says, and while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Verse 21. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. 24. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. 28. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me." Verse 30. Y'all still with me, right? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, "Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." It's the Bible then tells us that Peter went on to talk all about Jesus and everything that Jesus did. And at the preaching of the word of God, you know what happened? The Holy Ghost came down in that room and baptized a bunch of people in the Holy Ghost who weren't even Jews. Now listen, these people had no right for the Holy Ghost. They had no legal right to get filled with the Holy Ghost or even to commune with God. As a matter of fact, under the law, they weren't even allowed to eat in the same house with Jews. But Peter came, preached the gospel, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you this. If today you are saved, right? If you are saved, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you did not grow up going to temple, guess what? It's because of this very verse right here. Without that verse, you're still a dog and you go to hell. But because of what happened that day, we now have the right to enter into a covenant that wasn't even originally destined for us. Thank you, Jesus. What I want to talk about is not that, however. I want to talk about in this passage, in this little story, I want to encourage you today. It's easy to see how things are not going right. It's easy to see how you're praying and it seems like your prayers are not being answered. It's like I'm doing everything I know to do right and yet nothing is working for me. And I want to show you through this story right here, three ways that God is working on your behalf and you don't even know it. I want to encourage you today that you are not doing this thing called Christianity alone. We talk about a personal relationship with God, but there is no personal relationship with God outside of the family of God. Hello, does anybody hear what I'm saying? God did not save you just so it could be you and him in a closet. It just doesn't work that way. That's not his plan. It wasn't just there's a God in heaven and there's here you and you're lonely and one day you get to be with him and until then you hold on. No. That's not what's happening. I want to show you in this story three ways that God is working on your behalf, and I'm going to talk a little bit at length from my own testimony just to kind of encourage you a little bit in the faith, okay? I'm not preaching myself, but I'm just telling you how my life bears witness to some of this. I want you to look at verse 22. Acts 10:22. The Bible says, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house. There's angels working on your behalf right now. That's a big deal. We don't talk about it a lot in the church these days for some reason. And I think it's partially because just if we don't understand something, we just kind of put it in a room. If we don't fully comprehend it and we can't fully explain it and fully teach it, we just throw it into a bucket somewhere and don't talk about it. I'm not here today to teach you how to direct angels, how to orchestrate angels, to make you jealous of someone else's angel, to ask God for an angel. I'm not here to tell you any of that. What I am here to tell you is God is working on your behalf through his holy angels. is happening whether you ask for God to do it or not, because they move according to God's will. The way I pray is, I pray, God, would you please do whatever? And sometimes Jesus himself comes and touches people. Sometimes he sends his Holy Ghost, but often he'll send an angel. Now, I don't tell him to send an angel because he can do it however he wants. Does that make sense? I don't care how God does stuff. It makes no difference to me as long as it gets done. Right? I mean, does that sound weird to you that I'm talking like that? Does that sound strange? But like, when I see somebody sick, I don't try to figure out a plan for God to heal them. I don't say, okay, Lord, here's how you're going to do this. Okay, you're going to get some oil, and you're going to anoint it, and you're going to give it to an angel. No, I say, Lord, heal him. Now, he could speak a word. He could do it. I don't care how he does it. I just want the person healed. Right? Often, he'll send an angel. Why? I don't know, but I know he does. I don't need to understand why God does the things he does. I don't have to understand even how he does the things he does. I don't need to. That's not my requirement at all. I just need to obey. And he tells me to pray for the sick, so I pray for the sick. In Isaiah chapter 6, there's this story about Isaiah the prophet. And the prophet was, you look at some of these prophets, and you know what we have really pales in comparison to what some of these guys receive from God. And that makes me mad, because we're in a better covenant. But Isaiah, one day, the Lord spoke to him and told him he was going to be a prophet. And he did something very dynamic. And I'm going to explain to you how God did something very similar in my life. Not so that you could be jealous, but just to give you faith in the angels. Amen? One day, I was in prayer. And many of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again anyways. I was in prayer, and the glory of the Lord came upon me in a significant way, in that I was on the ground and I could not get up. Has that ever happened to anybody? And it felt like there was 1,000 pounds on top of me. And the presence of the Lord was so strong, I started getting scared. If you are experiencing God and the fear of the Lord has not entered the room yet, keep pressing in. Don't stop at the goosebumps. I mean, when the Lord comes into a situation, everything in the natural realm has to bend toward him. Keep pressing in until stuff in you starts bending. If things in the natural aren't bending towards Jesus, don't stop. Press in for more. Anyways, so it felt like the cells in my body were shifting. Does this make sense? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I losing you? You with me here? So the cells in my body, it felt, were shifting in a way that made me quite scared, because I hadn't quite experienced that before. And as I'm stuck on the ground, unable to move, the Lord began talking to me. And then I never heard of this in my life. I never saw anybody. Nobody talked me into this. I was in a church, and my whole view was, if the Lord wants revival in my church, he can come and bring it. I'm not going nowhere. I'm not listening to nobody. The Lord wants to give me a word. He knows who my pastor is. I got an open ear. He can come minister to me whenever he wants. I don't got to run all over North America to get the anointing. He knows where I am. And guess what? He found my address. So I'm laying on the floor of my bedroom, stuck to the ground, and an angel walked into the room. I'd never seen this. Freaked me out pretty good, because I didn't know what was happening. And so this angel walks in the room, and he's carrying something at the end of what looked like a pair of tongs. And he got these things, and it was glowing, and he got these tongs, and he touched my mouth. Now, I don't know if that happens to you a lot, but that freaked me flap out, okay? I did not know what was happening. I'm stuck to the ground. He touches my mouth. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do, but I know God is in the room. My wife then walks in the room, and I'm stuck to the ground. And I'm thinking, the Lord has sent me a deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. Help me get off the ground. What is happening to me right now? And my wife begins to flip through her Bible, which I found very annoying at that moment. Can I just be honest? I'm here in the page. As if it's normal to walk in a room and see your spouse stuck to the ground. Okay, for her, maybe it is. I don't know. But so she's flipping through, and she's not saying anything, and she's flipping around, and I'm getting annoyed, and she's flipping, and I'm stuck there thinking, oh, my God, what is happening? Have I died? Where am I at? And she starts to sing a song after that. And of course, why not start singing, you know? She starts singing this song, and some of you saints who've been around for a minute know this song. She says, take me into the holy of holies. Who knows that song? Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the coal, touch my lips. Here I am. My wife starts singing a song about the very experience I just had. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7 says, this is the scripture I was meditating upon. And it says, and he touched my mouth and said, behold. Let me back up. He says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Now, Isaiah was called to be a prophet. And he's like, I can't. I'm going to come up short. And the Lord didn't say, well, you better start working these things out. No. He said, I'm going to take a little bit of heaven and I'm going to touch it with you. And when you talk, you're not going to talk by your power. You're going to talk through the revelation of heaven. That's going in the book. That's good right there. I just came up with that. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what the Lord did to me that day. And from that moment on, that angel had, this might sound weird. I don't normally tell people this part. But that angel gave me a gift, and he guards over the gift. Quite often when I'm ministering, people will see that angel walking around behind me. I don't think that makes me special at all. That makes God pretty special. I didn't have anything to do with it. Now, if I did it, then I'd be special, but I didn't do it. I was just laying on the ground, you know? And you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make me special. That doesn't make me think that I'm better than anybody. I don't think that you should then, you know, want to be me or anything like that, because I got it just by worshiping Jesus, and I use it for his glory. And often, like I said, when I minister, people see that angel. I think these days we don't see angels as much as they did in the early church or even in the Old Testament, because God would rather use people. I really believe he'd rather use people than an angel. There's things that that only angels could do that people can't do because of their strength, because of their abilities. And so God will use them in that way. But I think we don't get messages from angels as much, not because angels are doing less, but because people are doing more, which is good. Yeah? Amen? You with me on that? Okay. I have many more stories like that, but that's it for today. Here's what's really important. Angels never seek to be worshipped. And I don't even think they like to be talked about that much. They're working on your behalf, but they want to bring glory to Jesus. And there's no angel I have ever met that wanted to be worshiped. There's no angel that ever wants to steal glory from God. All those fell. All those angels fell, you know? There's none of them left. You never can summons an angel to do something through ritual. You're never going to conjure up something and make angels do things. Angels operate according to the will of God. And it's impossible for you to have an angel do something that violates the will of God. They operate under the perfect will of God. They will never violate God's will. Period. So I just say, Lord, can you do this? Would you do this? It's according to your word. Will you have this done? And he'll do it however he wants. Sometimes he sends angels. And I'm here to let you know that angels are working on your behalf. We often have the intercessor see angels standing at the doorway to our little sanctuary here, and people walk in and they get delivered as they walk past these large angels. And that, you know, and we don't say, hey, the angels are here, so you're going to get free, you know? No, Jesus wants you to be free, and he reigns in this place. And if you come here, you're getting free or you're not coming back. That's pretty much how we look at it. But the demon's leaving, with or without you. It's going. Hallelujah. Is this, are y'all with me here? Okay, I don't have a lot of time to go on that one, but at the end, when we have our fire tunnel, I believe, I guess I'm going to tell one more story. The Lord gave me, let me give you just part of a vision he gave me recently that has been ongoing for the last couple of weeks. The Lord showed me an open heaven. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And he literally showed me a hole in the heavens and the angels were sitting around it, almost like they were sitting on the edge of something like this, you know, like with their legs kind of dangling over the edge of the open heavens. Does that make sense? And they're just kind of sitting there. And it's amazing how many angels that I see that are bored. There's just way too many bored angels. And I just, when I see them, I'm like, hey, you want something to do? You know, I got something to do. You know, I'm hiring, you know. But they're sitting up there and they were waiting to be assigned to people. And I really felt like God had opened a season in this house that he's opening opportunities. Remember the word that I got that we've come into a season of effective ministry, an effective season for ministry that we've come into. And I felt like God is assigning some of these ministry things in this season as people step out to do these things. And he has an angel to watch over that call to help empower it. I believe when he gives people a gift, there's an angel that delivers the gift and then the angel watches over the gift. Now, whether or not that's true is irrelevant because I'm not praying to the angel. That's just, you know, that's, you know, 1 Carl 3:2, you know, that's just me, you know, it's not in the Bible, you know, but I saw these angels, and then I saw the angels, at one point, when we prayed for people a couple weeks ago, and someone else had the same vision, and the angels were descending from that hole being assigned to people. And I think in our tunnel, as we lay hands on people, we have a variety of, giftings that are going to be present. And I feel like there's some people with a gift to impart certain gifts, and you may get something new that's good as you go through. Amen. So come in faith when you do that later on. Are you with me? God is on your side. He's with you. He's working on your behalf. Say that. God is working on my behalf. And I don't even know it. That's good news. You're not on your own. Number two, I'm moving along here. So number one, he's working on your behalf through the angels. Number two, he's working on your behalf. You don't even know it by the Holy Ghost. We love the Holy Ghost in this church. Look at verse 20. Acts chapter 10, verse 20. Am I losing you? Y'all with me here? Rahur. Okay. Whew. I'm getting baked right now. Okay, verse 20. Okay, we're going to start in 19. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit, you know what that Spirit is? That's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. If you look at it, it's capitalized, should be capitalized in your Bible. That's the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost spoke to him. Behold, there are men looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Who sent them? The Holy Ghost. You follow that. The Holy Ghost says to Peter, guess what? I am doing some things. I have sent something. You weren't doing nothing over there. You were just, I have sent some people. So Cornelius is back in his room, you know, got some things, and God's like, okay, I've seen you've been a good man seeking God, you know, just send some people. He's like, what? Yeah, just send some people. But the Holy Ghost is moving on his behalf. He didn't even know the Holy Ghost. You know what? He wasn't even saved. Oh, God don't even hear the prayer of a sinner, I've heard people say. You got to be right with God. What? I see Holy Ghost working on Cornelius' behalf. You know, when people, right before they get saved, they often go through this birthing process. And right before you get saved, you start just shedding things from your life that are unholy. Does that happen to anybody else? You just start getting rid of some things. You're like in that birthing process. Rarely do people just come in high and get saved. And I mean, normally it's like, you know, they stop, you know, kind of cut back on the drugs a little bit, and they want to change their lives, and that's the Holy Ghost drawing them, working on their behalf before they even get saved. Now, if he did it before you receive Christ, Sam got that. Now, if he would do that much in your life before you ever obeyed him once, what about after? What about after he says you're part of the family? Now, I have some spiritual sons in this house that I absolutely love, that I do lots of things for, but that doesn't compare to what I do for Isaac. Now you're just being drawn into the family and he's doing stuff on your behalf. You're like, I was just looking for a church and then I ran into this person. Wow, haven't seen you in 9 years. How you doing? Do I want to go to your church? Yeah, that's funny. I was just thinking, that's the Holy Ghost. And you ain't done nothing right yet. He's working on your behalf right now. He's setting things up. He's calling people. You need to go over there because you got to bless my daughter, Cynthia. You got no. You got to go over there because, you know, no. I'm working things all, as a matter of fact, all things I'm working together for good. The word says, he said, I'm working all things together for good. It's right there in Romans chapter 8. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anybody got any weakness? Hope you're weak, because he can only help the weak. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, a lot of people call that tongues. They say, that's your prayer language. And it might be, but I just like to think that the Holy Ghost himself is praying for me, with or without my help. I don't know if that should excite you a little bit. The Bible says that Jesus right now is interceding on your behalf. Could you imagine? You know, there's some people that you know who like got God's cell phone number. They're like so in. You know what I'm talking about? And they go past voicemail. They just go right into it. And you ask those people to pray for you. You know what I'm saying? Because you figure like their prayers get answered a little bit more. Imagine how many of Jesus' prayers get answered. Who's he praying for? Raise your hand if he's praying for you. That's good news. It says right here in the Bible. I mean, we got to believe this word. I want to believe everything that's in it. Amen. I want you to believe this part right here. Okay. Likewise, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, here's the good part, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Things are working together for good in your life right now. Someone's praying for me. You know who it is? The Holy Ghost. You know who's praying with? Jesus. And my Bible says, if any two agree, come on, somebody. That's good news. Come on, somebody. That make me want to run around a room. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. Feel the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, Jesus. We're about to wrap this up. Number one, we got the angels working on our behalf. Number two, we got the Holy Ghost working on our behalf. Number three, how God is working on our behalf and we don't even know it. Number three is other people. Now, this is a big deal. This is where we fall off short a lot. Verse 9, it says, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour. What was he doing? To pray. Well, we'd have it. Acts 10:9. It's right there in the Bible. Acts 10:9. The next day, as the next day, Acts 10:9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts 10:9. Hallelujah. Everybody pray in tongues. Loose! Just put up a verse, then you'll know where you're at and go up or down. Acts 10:9. Bam! I knew they were going to do it all along. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to do what? To pray. What's interesting is Cornelius was told to send the men before Peter ever said yes, before Peter ever responded. I think there's a lot of people who obey God and things don't come to pass because the people on the other side don't obey God. Imagine if Peter said, well, all the homies are going out to a movie tonight. You know, I was going to pray, but I guess I could do that tomorrow. We'd all just be going to hell. You know what I mean? That'd be no good. I jest, but you know what I'm saying. But here's Peter. Peter is someone who's got a laid down life. He just laid down. He gave his life to Jesus, and it's the middle of the afternoon, and he's like, I'm going to go pray now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go lay down. I'm going to hear what my Father is saying to me. You know, some of the most depressing times in my life is when God wakes me up at 3 a.m. and I go back to sleep. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, what secrets did he want to share with me last night? What I felt the pull of the anointing, and I was doing some accounting, and the Holy Ghost comes in the room, and I did not just yield to the Spirit. Who knows what mysteries were going to be revealed? I want to live a life that when the Holy Ghost says it's prayer time, it's prayer time. That's it. He runs my calendar. He runs my schedule. He gets to tell me, hey, guess what? I know you said you're going to go to this meeting and go to this lunch meeting and go watch this basketball game. And the Holy Ghost loves to pray during the NBA playoffs is what I have found in my life. I cannot tell you how many playoff games I have missed because the Holy Ghost said, hey, that was a good time to pray. I'm like, oh, yeah, game 7. Great time. Let's go do that. But I think, like, he likes to feel that he's special sometimes. You know, he likes to feel that he's special. And he's and the world needs people like you who are willing to lay down your hopes and dreams and wishes and desires and your carnal desires of the flesh and yield it to God so that the Holy Ghost can move through you and touch a world. This world, they deserve an encounter with Jesus. This world deserves to encounter somebody who's baptized in the Holy Ghost and has an answer to the issues of the day. You did not get saved so you just lay on the ground and giggle. You didn't get saved just so you can, you know, have your little sin issues taken care of. You didn't get saved just so you can get out of debt and find a cute girl and just go on with your life. You did not get saved for that. You got saved so you can be an ambassador of reconciliation to this planet. So you can be healing presence. So you can be an outstretched arm of Jesus so that you can be deliverance, that you can be a blessing. God saved you so you could touch this world for his glory. The world is out searching, and I'm looking at yoga studios popping up all over Boca Raton. And I'm like, why does the world think that is the way to get in touch with a spirit? Why do they think that that's going to fix their anxiety when we have the answer? Why? And I look at that, and every time I see a yoga studio pop up, I'm like, good Lord, I just get convicted in my heart. I used to only stretch my hand when I'd see these psychics, and I'd be calling down the fire of God every time I go by. I just call down, shall we send fire upon them? I said, yes. But I look at these yoga studios, and I'm just like, man, we got the answer. You know, how far off of the truth do you have to be in order to be in a lie? You know, that's enough for me. And I'm like, man, this world needs what we got. This world needs what you have. If you've received Christ as Savior, the world needs you to be in the place of prayer and to receive some marching orders from Jesus and then go out and meet the person who was sent to find the truth. I meet a young person and they get saved, and I get pretty excited when anybody gets saved. I get really excited. But I begin to think, how many generations did I just touch? I see a young couple get on fire for Jesus, and I think, how many generations is that going to affect right there? How many hundreds of people just are going to come into knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what just happened right here? You know, I see somebody in 7-Eleven, and I'm like in a hurry, and the Holy Ghost gives me a word of knowledge. I'm thinking, man, this person just got healed over while buying a hot dog. Who's that going to affect? Because you know what? Never again can they not believe that Jesus Christ heals. It's not possible for them to deny that God is not alive forever. They can say, I don't understand. I don't know exactly what happened, but somebody said Jesus would heal me, and I'm healed. You ever met anybody got healed by a witch, like a Santeria priest or anything? Have you ever met someone? It is really hard for them to deny. It's hard for them to admit that that is demonic after being touched by that power. Something gets seared in their soul, and it's hard for them to give that up. I think it's even more so with Jesus. When you get infused by the power of God, think about it. When you lay hands on someone to get healed, what happens? God invades their body. The truth comes and sets something in order in their life that wasn't in order. I like that person to get converted and just start worshiping Jesus with her. But you know what? They now in the birth canal. That's like a little Holy Ghost Pitocin right there. That's good. Put that in the book. Labor has started because I done got things going.
Hello, this is Carl Thomas, lead pastor of the Mission Del Rey in Delray Beach, Florida. If you've been blessed by this or any of our podcasts, would you consider making a donation online at themissiondelray.com? Also, if you find yourself in the South Florida area, we'd love to have you at one of our Sunday morning services. More information can be found online at themissiondelray.com.